Welcome into Scoops with Danny Mac on a Friday morning. In just a moment, we'll visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and there is a ton to get into. I want to tell you about one of our new sponsors. Very excited to add the Milton Law Group. So if you're currently sideways with the IRS, if you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, facing tax liens, bank levies, wage garnishments, make sure you call the best in town, Mark Milton, STLTaxLawyer.com. Widely recognized as one of the top tax resolution attorneys in the country, prides himself in helping individuals, small business owners solve their tax issues, and he's a proud St. Louis University Law School alum, earned his accounting degree from the University of Illinois. So if you have IRS problems, visit STLTaxLawyer.com. Hey, there's a ton to get into. The Cardinals began their series last night here in Chicago at Wrigley Field and fell in game one of a five-game set. You got Jason Tatum in the playoffs. You got the Blues finishing up, and a ton to get into with Ben Fredrickson. Let's bring in Ben Fredrickson from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. As always, Ben, happy Friday to you and a good morning. How are things going?
Doing well, man. Happy Friday to you and to the folks out there. We got a lot to get into. It's a busy week in sports and going to be a busy weekend as well.
It's going to be crazy here in Chicago. I'm in Chicago. You're in St. Louis. You got a lot of stuff that you're covering right now. Really enjoyed yesterday's article on Matt Carpenter. I want to ask you about that in just a moment. But does it get any better than five games in 4 days at Wrigley? I don't think it does.
Pretty good. And a chance for the Cardinals to do what they didn't do on Thursday and stack up some wins against a team that is that's searching. The Cubs they're not a bad team, Dan, but they're not a team that should be competing for this division, and they're not. So this is a spot in the schedule for the Cardinals to try to kind of do what the Brewers did to start, where they beat up on some of the losing teams in the division. Here's the problem, though, and you saw it. You saw it firsthand on Thursday. Is the pitching going to be there? And games can get weird at Wrigley. The Cardinals are kind of tiptoeing up toward an innings shortage, and they're needing their offense to carry a lot if they're going to get some short starts and some lopsided games. I think their offense has been better, but right now it's about the pitching, where the inning's going to come from. They've got some talent, they've got some youth, but right now with a couple guys hurt and Mats and Flaherty trying to get back, they've got a shortage on hand, I'm afraid.
They do. They also have Paul Goldschmidt, and I don't know how you describe what's going on with this guy, because he's been awesome. I'm looking at his line from last night. Now, he was only 1-for-5, but he had a two-out RBI double to left center in the third, and that brought in Harrison Bader, so that got the Cardinals rolling. But you start looking at what he has done so far, and it's been amazing what Goldie's doing. So leads the National League in hits, batting average, slug, OPS, second in total bases, and extra base hits. He's now reached base safely in a career-high 38 games. He's hit safely in 24 straight. He is one of 23 Cardinals with a hitting streak of 23 or more games. So one of 23 since 1901. And he's got 33 RBIs during this streak, which is an incredible amount of runs batted in. And you know you're going to get the good defense and everything that goes along with it. But man, oh man, is it fun to watch this guy do what he's doing. And I should tell you, I don't mean to take away from anything that the Post-Dispatch is doing, because you guys are awesome. So you know that, okay? You're good with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bernie had a great article on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com talking about some of the beyond stats with Goldie to show just how good he has been. And Bernie writes daily, as you know, and I know you have great respect for Bernie, but it's amazing. Like, I was reading the article and I just couldn't believe it. But for all the baseball fans out there, make sure you subscribe to Pinch Hitters and also St. Louis Pinch Hits with the Post-Dispatch, but ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, you'll get daily baseball content. But going deep into the numbers, I didn't realize just how good he's been. This is a remarkable stretch. And I was talking to somebody the other day, Ben. I said, I don't remember a time with Pujols being like this. I guess maybe the first month of 06 when he was hitting everything out of the park. I know he's had stretches that have been amazing, but I'm not sure we've ever seen a stretch like this in the last 25, 30 years.
It's steady. It's consistent. It's every single night. And, you know, you mentioned the defense too. And about the base running, there've been
You
know, a handful of examples in the past few games of him either putting them in a spot to score a run or scoring a run because he runs the bases like someone really shouldn't be able to for his size. He's a great athlete. We see that in a lot of different ways. Go back, I think his last, go back to the last day of April where he went 0-for-3. And since then, you know, his average is above 400, his slugging above 800. I mean, he's in the driver's seat for, you know, for the National League MVP. And he's going to have to fall off pretty hard to fall out of that conversation. It'll be hard for him to keep doing this at this rate, but this is more than just a hot streak. This is a guy putting together one of his most, what looks to be like one of his most impressive seasons at the age of soon to be 35. It's amazing to watch. It's not incredibly surprising because we've seen this from him, this consistency in approach. And I think he's in a lot of ways inspirational to these guys because he's so good, but he still works so hard. So it doesn't stun you. But when you look at the numbers, they're jaw-dropping. When you look at the season numbers now, they're jaw-dropping. He's a 3-WAR player, and we're talking about a couple months into the season. Mm. His OPS plus, you know, the old 100 is season is the MLB average for this season so far. He's at 203. So wow. he's basically 2-1, which is, it's absurd. And you talking to him, you'd think you know all he did was went to work and punched the clock and put in his shift and went home. The guy has a surprising, I would say he has no ego, but I don't think that ego and Goldschmidt even go in the same sentence together. I've never quite encountered somebody who's as down to earth as he is, despite being as good as he is at what he does. And I think that goes a long way in a clubhouse when you got a lot of guys who look up to him.
I got to ask you, with the pitching issues that they've had, and Flaherty's still a ways away, but it's good to see him going to rehab, and Hicks is close and Matz is close. So you're going to get some, you know, stability with whether they're starters or relievers. But I am curious about Dallas Keuchel. Are you interested in that lefty that was DFA'd by the Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, I think it could be of interest for a few reasons. He is left-handed. He is a guy who was playing in front of a pretty bad defense with the White Sox. The Cardinals have a pretty good defense. That matters when you're a ground ball guy. It would be a risk, but it would be a low gamble. It would be a low risk because he's been DFA'd. He has had some solid starts this year. If you think you see something there that you can get figured out, if you think you can help him get his sinker fixed, or if you think you can help him get a better feel for his slider, then I would jump all over it just for the sake of what's the worst that could happen. It doesn't work and he moves on. Some of his numbers, some of the stuff he does kind of looks like some of what Wade LeBlanc did when he came in and really helped the Cardinals when they were at a kind of an innings deficit last season. So I think there's a lot to like there. He's, you know, he doesn't walk a ton of guys. His walk rate is up a little bit for him, but he doesn't walk a ton of guys. And putting him in front of a better defense would help. And he's not giving up he's giving up hits, but he's not giving up just a ton of massively hard contact. So you kind of have to squint to maybe see an upside. And, you know, it's not a automatic yes, but I think there's enough there that, especially if the Cardinals feel like they're going to be up against it here, then why not? I don't really see the downside if he's interested and open to it, and if you think he's healthy. I mean, I do think the Cardinals have intel on some of these guys that we won't see, and sometimes in the numbers. But if they think he's healthy and they think that they can do what they did with a guy like John Lester, a guy like Wade LeBlanc, a guy like Happ last season, no one was singing the praises of those guys when they showed up. And clearly the Cardinals were able to get them pitching effectively at a time where they desperately needed innings. And that's one thing, you know, Keuchel can give you if he's healthy. He could give you some innings. So I still think he's got something left to offer there. And you're already in Chicago, so I might see if he wants to swing by Wrigley. Because we care,
your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Do you have a waterproofing issue in your basement? Stratum Structural Systems is there to help. It's why they're the number one waterproofing company in the Midwest. They put the customer's interest first, provide lasting solutions, and eliminate the homeowner stress. StratumRepair.com.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Hey, Danny Mac for Ryan Kelly. Most of us have spent so much time in the house over the last several months, and you've been thinking, time for a change, new home, improvement. Do it with Ryan Kelly. He is the home loan expert. He'll get you in the new home you want in just a few short weeks. The 5-minute loan approval, only available at thehomeloanexpert.com. Hey, it's Dan McLaughlin, and I want to remind you about Rottler. It is pest season, and that means you need to go to the most trusted pest control company in the Midwest, and that is Rottler. Rottler.com.
I'm really curious what you saw with the Matt Carpenter article that you wrote yesterday at the Post-Dispatch, because I'm thrilled for him. As you know, I really like him. I'm pulling for him. I think everybody is. I really do. And obviously the last couple of years in St. Louis did not go as planned, but with a short porch in right and a really good team, and if he has had a lot of corrections with his swing. He went all over the country with Votto and Holiday and all these different players to try to correct his swing for one more shot. If this pays off for him, man, and he has a good year or at least a good run, good for him. I really enjoyed your piece, though, at the Post.
Oh, thanks. And yeah, I'm happy to see Matt finding this success. And I think it's kind of natural. I think sometimes, you know, in Cardinal Nation for a guy to have success elsewhere, and the natural reaction as well, maybe they should have brought him back, or maybe that was a mistake to let him go. And that's not the case here. I mean, it had ran its course. Carpenter wasn't making adjustments, and clearly whatever the staff was trying to do to help him get out of it wasn't working. They let him finish up the contract, and it was time to turn the page for both. Now, I give Matt Carpenter a ton of credit for thinking he had something left and saying, okay, I think I can still prove I can rebound from this. And what did he do? He went to work, tried to get his swing back to what he was doing in 2018 and before, when he was really one of the more threatening hitters out there. He took a minor league deal from the Rangers and didn't balk when they sent him to AAA. And he put up solid numbers at AAA. He had an opt-out in his contract, so he thought he was putting up pretty good numbers. He figured some other teams might be interested. And lo and behold, the Yankees have a couple guys hurt. They got a little bit of a COVID thing going on, and here comes Carpenter, a guy who I think we all kind of wondered when it was clear the Cardinals were moving on, could that be a good place for him? And here it is, and he's got 3 home runs already. He's going 11 pitches in his first career at bat against Shohei Ohtani and hitting a leadoff home run. Yeah, he's hitting leadoff when they go with the lefty lineup. He's hitting a home run against Noah Syndergaard. All he does is hit home runs. He doesn't have any other hits right now for the Yankees. But I think it's a combination of things, man. I think he's got some of that pop back. But I also think that ballpark, it's better for him. But B, I think it gives him confidence. I mean, we saw it with Luke Voit, and certain guys fit certain parks. And with Voit, it was that opposite field power. He could poke things out of that ballpark, and Carpenter can pull it out. And I think the confidence of knowing you can do that, I think that's a mental thing. The home run he hit against the Angels, against Ohtani on Thursday, it would have been out everywhere. I mean, he freaking detonated that thing.
Yeah.
But he's also going to have some that barely get over there. Those were those balls sometimes, Dan, that were dying at the warning track at Busch. So maybe it's a combination of the changes he made, but also the fit. And I think you got to give credit to the Yankees for saying, hey, we like that swing. We think it projects well here. They do a good job of seeing guys who they think will fit their stadium. So it's fun to watch. It's crazy to see him with that mustache, but it's a pretty cool chapter if he's able to continue this. We'll see what happens when they get healthier. But if he keeps swinging like this, they're going to have a hard time moving on from him.
I think it's like a cross between Don Mattingly and maybe Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and Maddox.
There you go, Mike Maddox. That's a good one, too. You know,
he looks like he's in like an old school spaghetti Western.
He really does. Put a you know, old Western hat on him and let him rip. I really am so thrilled, by the way, for Matt Holiday going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. That announcement was made last Friday prior to
our visit, and I'm thinking of Carpenter and Holiday and how close they are. And to me, Matt's legacy, not Carpenter, but Matt Holiday's legacy in St. Louis is of a great player. The torch was kind of passed to him to an extent. Now, he did overlap with Albert, and boy, those two were great in that lineup for a couple of years, and they won a championship in 11. He went to a World Series in 13, but his legacy to me is beyond that, being a great player, and they got him in the prime of his career. It's about what he did in our community and Homers for Health and what that has done for Cardinal Glennon's, and it continues to thrive here today and help out so many families and kids. So I don't know about you. I was thrilled about that. I had been kind of stumping, if you ever want to listen to me on a game. I don't know if you ever pay attention, but if you do, I had been stumping for Julian Javier after doing many games with Tim McCarver. He always talked about Julian Javier being one of the glue pieces of those championship teams in the 60s. And I did a deeper dive on him when he went in, or is going in, but when he got elected, is no one has played more games at second base than Julian Javier in Cardinals history. It's not Tommy Herr, wasn't Rogers Hornsby, wasn't Red Schoendienst. It was, all of a sudden, you look up Julian Javier. So to see those two get in, I'm thrilled for him, and I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think, the thing that jumps to mind immediately about Holiday is the time that moth got stuck in his ear. No, I'm kidding. The fact that he had such a lengthy contract, and that you can point to that and say that's a long-term contract that no one complained about. Which is really, like, I mean, you actually think, and people think, well, that's kind of an understatement, or that maybe that's sliding him. It's not at all. How many long-term contracts do you see guys sign, and at the end of it, everybody agrees, yeah, that was a really good deal for the team.
Well, it makes
it, hey, a lot of times with those long contracts, people are ready to rip them up, or wishing they could shred them about 3 years in, and he was as sustainably good over the course of his deal as just about as anybody you can find.
Well, maybe,
except for maybe Max Scherzer with the Nationals.
It made
that
me think,
would probably be the closest one to compare it to.
Well, it made me think this past week with the Padres in town, and you've got Machado for 10 years, and he so far so good. I mean, he's been great, and he's having a great year. But then you got Tatis, who's dealing with the shoulder issues. Then he has the wrist issues with an accident, apparently, in the Dominican. And you're
Which
thinking,
one?
Yeah, well, exactly. And you're thinking, man, we signed him for 13 years. What's that going to look like at the tail end? And it might work. It might be awesome. Same way with Machado. But usually the back end of those deals just aren't very good. And the 7 years in St. Louis were of excellence for the most part for Matt Holiday.
Yeah, and also, too, give Matt Holiday credit as well for his quiet recruitment of Nolan Arenado.
For sure.
I don't know that Arenado is as sold on being traded to the Cardinals without kind of that mentorship and that relationship that he has with Holiday. So I'm just wondering when he's going to be back with the Cardinals in some capacity, man. I think it's probably going to be at some point down the line. Who knows what role, but I know he's still close with the team, and happy for him. Congrats to him, but also wondering what's next for him, and if that could be something with the Cardinals at some point down the line.
Well, I think it would have been this year if not for two sons that are terrific players, and one that in about a month or so, a little bit over a month.
Number one, right?
Yeah, he could. Jackson Holiday is a shortstop, swings from the left side, and depending on what you read, and I like to read the different mock drafts, but I've seen him going one in a bunch of them, and if not one, he's two. And Andrew Jones' son is the other that either is one or two. So you got that. He's got another kid coming that's really good too. So I know that this was tough for him because he really wants to manage at some point, certainly coach. And I think if he didn't have the responsibility of being a father and being hands-on and trying to help his kids get to the next level, he'd probably be here in St. Louis in some form or fashion. So I do think that's something that's coming. I want to switch gears because this time last week we were still talking Blues hockey as well. I thought it'd go game seven, and we were about a second away from going to overtime in game six. Heartbreaking loss. And now you turn the page and you wonder about, okay, what happens with Tarasenko? Do you bring David Perron back? What happens with Ville Husso? So some of those names, what's your initial thought on what may happen in the immediate future for that trio?
Yeah, I think the Doug Armstrong kind of makes it sound like he thinks the team is more or less set, but I don't quite believe that Army's not going to be doing some maneuvering here. He usually does. I think the Blues can be happy, Dan, with their season, but I think that they're not going to be satisfied. They know that Colorado is going to be good for the future, and they got to figure out ways to continue to close that gap. If you were super down on the way the Blues win against Colorado, including after losing Jordan Binnington, then just look at what Colorado is doing to Edmonton, where they're two games up despite a goalie injury, and they're pretty much cruising so far in that semifinal round. So that should make you feel a little bit better, even though you wonder what would have happened in game three if Binnington hadn't gotten knocked out. The goalie situation, I think you bet on Binnington. He doesn't need surgery. He proved he can rise to the occasion. If Husso, you can get him back, that's great. But I got to think there's probably a team out there that will be willing to pay him to be their number one or compete for it. So I think if you have to, you go with Charlie Lindgren as your backup. Use some of that money to try to get David Perron back. I think that's big for them. He's older. I get it. The concussion issues are real and a threat. But he proved once again in this playoff that they just don't have a lot of guys who compete at the highest moment like him. And he's so good with Ryan O'Reilly, so I think they're serious about trying to get him back. They've got to try to find some way, Dan, to I think beef up this defense a little bit. Colton Parayko can't be blamed for everything. He needs a little more help, so I think they got to look at some ways to maybe get a little longer, a little more disruptive there, and maybe look at kind of some of your forwards and see who's expendable. A lot of people are wondering if maybe it's best to trade high on a guy like Barbashev, who maybe isn't going to be that 20 goal scorer moving forward. You've got depth at forward, so that's where you can kind of deal from. But strengthening up that defense, I think, is going to be a key. Tarasenko, good luck predicting what's going to happen there. Army says he's not worried about it. Vladdy's got one more year left on his deal, so I guess you could just let it play out one more year. If he wants to stay, maybe you try to look at an extension. That would be great. But I don't know. They might be on a year-to-year basis with each other by now.
82 points, man. That's hard to replace. And I'm thinking with Perron, I'd love to see him back. And I, you know, he's had three different stints here, and we've watched him grow up in front of our eyes, literally, both on and off the ice. And he's a terrific player, and I thought he had a great season. But he's getting older, and then you got to think about O'Reilly after next year. So, yep. You know, how old do you want to get, and do you keep the band together to make one more run? I don't know. I think there's some tough decisions to think about in that regard. I'll say this. I think if Binnington is healthy, I think the Blues might win that series. I really do. He had that look. He was playing great. He was playing at an elite level. And there are metrics. I was talking with some of the Blues folks. There's metrics to look at. You know, kind of like the sabermetrics, if you want, analytics, whatever, in hockey. And he was playing at a level that was even better than the 2019 run. So who knows what happens, man, if he's healthy and Krug was available in Game 7 because that power play was so good. Yeah. And anything can happen in a Game 7. So it was a good year, but, man, it's frustrating when you see now what Colorado's doing against Edmonton. You think, man, that could have been the Blues, and maybe you're talking about another magical run.
Maybe. I mean, look at how they're scoring with ease against Edmonton. And then you go back and look at what Jordan did and you go, oh, wow, maybe that could have been the difference. And that's why you have a hard time, you know, being too critical of the Blues for not winning that thing. You can't help it when Binnington gets knocked out with a knee injury. You don't know what happens if he's in there. Husso was valiant, and I thought he tried to do, you know, it's not easy to go from thinking you're not going to play the rest of the postseason to all of a sudden being the guy again. That's a tough spot. He had some good moments. He played great in game six, and unfortunately it just fell apart on him late. And, you know, those shorthanded goals, but the Blues were not the same team. I hate to say it, as soon as Binnington went down. Part of it was this fact that he was stopping everything. Part of it was the fact that the way he handles the puck and gets it out, it allows them to help their offense, and that costs them. Husso just doesn't do that as well. So I think everybody knows where that stands. And if Husso wants to return to be the number two again, then, and you can make it work, that's great. It doesn't seem entirely realistic for me to see that playing out, especially because there aren't a lot of top tier goalies available, and somebody's going to want a goalie, and Husso could be pretty high up that list based on how he played last year. So I'm a Bennington guy. I always was. And I think he reinforced and redeemed himself in this run. So you hope he gets healthy. You hope he has a more stable season next year. And you bank on the fact that he's going to hit a different level when you get to the playoffs, because when the playoffs have been normal, he's proven that. So the Blues are going to be in good shape. They just got to make some changes. They've got to continue to try to close that gap on the Avalanche, because here's the problem, Dan. They knocked out Minnesota. Minnesota's going to look completely different next year. The Wild, this was their year, and they blew it. Colorado's, they're going to be around. McKinnon is not going to go to free
agency. Man, is he good? Holy
cow. He's got another year left. So if you don't find a way to be better against them, then that's what you're going to come up against. Every time you beat Colorado, you're going to say, okay, you know, this is we had a good season, but we ran into Colorado. I don't think Doug Armstrong's going to be happy saying that. So he's going to have to try to find a way to nudge this team in a more competitive direction against one of the best teams in hockey. Colorado might go on to win the whole dang thing.
I wonder if you're Doug Armstrong, and it seems like, you know, he's a gambler, but how much he kicks the tires with the Tkachuk situation in Calgary.
Yeah,
I'm still thinking that that's on the table.
It's the one thing where, if you can do one thing that just blows the top off of the excitement for next season, it would do it.
Oh man.
You might have to add more seats to the arena. I think some of that's going to be playing out on the other end. If he signs a long-term deal, then it's over, right? If he goes year to year, then maybe there's still something there. This could be the off season to figure that out. But it's going to cost. I mean, that's what you have to know, is you're not going to get him for something that doesn't hurt. I mean, if you're willing to give up a Kyrou, if you're willing to maybe, you know, give up a Thomas, they've got to, if those guys are long-term futures of this team, then you probably can't make a trade like that. If you're willing to shake it up and give up a costly piece for a guy you think can be a huge difference maker for your team, a true rock star, and make you a cup winning team, then you do it. But it's the one thing that, even if you had to pay a high price, everybody here would probably say, yeah, understood why they did it. And hopefully it works. He wants to be here, man. Everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
It.
I'm not the biggest NBA fan. I'm a casual fan, but if Jason Tatum's in the finals, I'll be paying a little bit more attention to that. And is he won the Eastern Conference MVP? Are you following it? What's your thoughts on seeing Tatum and a St. Louis kid be a big part of this finals?
I am. Yeah. I'm happy for Jason, and I don't think this is like a hot take, but I do feel strongly about it. I don't think Jason gets enough credit for a lot of the stuff that he does for St. Louis. I think because we don't have an NBA team, I think the people who are into the NBA are really into it, and a lot of people are just kind of like, you know, they're focused on baseball and hockey, and that's fine. But Tatum is back here every offseason to do camps, to give out backpacks to kids going to school, to run his charity golf tournament. I mean, he's in and around St. Louis, and he is constantly trying to find ways to bring positive attention to St. Louis. And I know that's appreciated, but I don't know that he gets enough credit for that. So I think if you love the NBA, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But for as much as St. Louis loves St. Louis, that's how much Tatum loves it. And it would be cool, I think, to see St. Louis kind of rally around him. I think it is happening now that he's in the finals. But this guy, Dan, when he was 14, we were all talking about this guy's going to be a special player. But what we didn't know, he was going to be one of the best players in the NBA. Who knew that? I mean, you knew being a special player, every player in the NBA is special. He is right now becoming one of the most premier players in the NBA, and he's getting better every single season. This was his first team All-NBA season.
Oh, he's building a Hall of Fame career.
He's proven that he can carry a team, push them to the championship, and he's 24 years old.
Right.
They had that historic comeback in game one. Nobody's given him any chance to beat the Warriors. They're down huge entering the fourth, and he's a plus 27 player in the fourth quarter in game one. He doesn't score a point. He doesn't just shoot. He doesn't just score. He defends. He passes. He rebounds. He's answered the questions about him being a clutch player. I mean, this guy's a going to be an all-time great, and it's pretty cool that his favorite place in the world is at home when he's not playing for the Celtics with with emos and hanging out with kids from the local Boys and Girls Club. I mean, that's who he is. It's pretty awesome.
I agree. By the way, I think you're going to like, as we wrap it up, my Sunday night show on Channel 2 at 10:30 this Sunday. You're going to like this one. You ready?
I heard there's a special guest.
I've got the commish on. I've got your colleague, Rick Hummel from the Post-Dispatch. And I got to thank the folks that you recommended to me to help me find some pictures.
Oh, good.
They were great. And we have pictures from one of his first articles that he ever wrote over 50 years ago for the Post. Wow. We've got photos of him in the press box and interviewing guys. It's a look at Rick Hummel through the years. And so that's part of the show. But it was really cool because we get into, I said, well, who's the most interesting guy? And I'm not going to say who it is. You got to watch the show. But the most interesting player that you've had the chance to cover. We talk about Game 6. We talked about being a beat writer and trying to cover the summer of 70. Can you imagine the headache that must have been in 1998 when cell phones really weren't in play all that much? And we talk a lot about how the industry has changed, but what it meant to go into the Hall of Fame and his biggest mentors and people that were influences in his career. So I think fans will really enjoy that, the baseball talk with him, and then also the baseball talk with Benji Molina, with a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff of growing up with Yadi as your brother, and a lot of footage from down in Puerto Rico. So that's really cool to see when those guys go back and what they did as kids and that kind of stuff. So those two guys will be my guests. We'll also have a look at the plays of the month for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know you, and that's, by the way, Sunday again, Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2, 10:30 this Sunday night. So DVR it. Make sure you're DVRing if it's too late for you, because I know you love to go to bed early. But the other thing is, what are you working on this weekend at the Post-Dispatch? I got to know.
Well, first, I'll tell you, I'll be watching live. As a former Rick Hummel intern, I will be tuned in.
Love it.
I think I'm his third. At last check, I fluctuate, Dan, between his second favorite and third favorite intern. It depends on
who's number one.
That's Joe Trezza.
Okay.
Of MLB.com. He's far and away number one.
Why is he number one?
I'll tell you that. He and Kamish have a special bond, and I can only I'm only playing for second, but sometimes I slip to third based off if I made him annoyed at me lately. So
if you piss him off, then right. It's different. Okay,
got correct. It. Yeah, I don't think I've slipped to fourth yet. I'm usually in the top three.
So but who else is in the top three?
Two and three. Well, that's the thing. Whoever's two is just who he feels like naming ahead of me.
Though. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a little bit of hazing, actually. I'm going to contact HR. But I've got you mentioned the Carpenter column. I've also got a column about I'm digging into some of these pitch clock numbers. And I've got a theory, Dan, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't. I think, A, I'm for the pitch clock. I think it can't get here soon enough. I like watching these younger guys who have been playing with
it. It's unbelievable.
How just ready to go they are. I also think the Cardinals could be a better team and play a better brand of Cardinals baseball when they get it. I think we see flashes of it.
I think they agree.
Marmol thinks that too.
Yeah, I think they agree. And I was talking yesterday with some of the Cardinal personnel, and they're going to talk to, and they have, to certain individuals that are slower than others about probably the point that you're going to make, which is it's not only beneficial for you as the pitcher because you might be in a better rhythm, but also it's just beneficial for the product as a whole. This is entertainment, but also for your defense. You know, guys are ready to go. They're ready to play. So I think that you're onto something there. I find it really interesting in watching Nolan Gorman. He never steps out of the box. Brendan Donovan doesn't step out of the box. Matthew Liberatore gets the ball and throws it. I mean, you know, these are the guys that have basically been trained with the pitch clock in the minor leagues. Let's face it, man, it is a better brand of baseball. The entertainment factor is there. It needs to come into play.
If you look at what's going on in the minors, they're having better base running. They're having the injuries that everybody worried about. They're not happening. You know, they're getting the same results. They're just shaving 30 minutes of dead time out of the game. It's the only rule change that can actually cut significant amounts of time without messing up with the product. And you know what? Here's the other thing. These guys, they don't have to like it. They don't have to like it, but they adjust. No one is going to have their career derailed.
No.
If they're supposed to be a major leaguer. if they're supposed to be able to get in the box and hit and get on the mound and throw. They can adjust. They all adjust. That's the game. They'll be able to figure this thing out. And I think it's good for baseball. And I think we can see in these young guys coming up that it's way more fun to watch. You can do your batting gloves once and stay in the box. That's how we were taught. I don't know where we got away from it, but it can come back. I promise.
100%. I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait to see some of the numbers that you have dug up. I bet it's pretty interesting. All right, buddy. Well, let's visit next Friday. Next Friday, we'll be back home in St. Louis after a day game in Tampa on Thursday. And then the Reds will be in town next Friday, and we'll kick off a homestand at Busch. And I look forward to seeing you in person. And thanks for doing this always.
You bet, man. Sounds good. And get home safe.
That is Ben Fredrickson. And this is ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.